What happens when a closeted psychology professor, a charismatic researcher with a death wish, a botanically obsessed freshman, and a philosophy professor raised in China all converge at Harvard in 1960? They accidentally trigger a cultural earthquake that's still sending aftershocks through our world today. Steve Jobs credited LSD as one of the most important experiences of his life. The Beatles channeled their psychedelic sessions into Tomorrow Never Knows. By 2018, Time magazine was asking a question that would have seemed absurd decades earlier. Was Timothy Leary right? This isn't just history. It's the origin story of how consciousness itself became something we could question, explore, and reimagine. Richard Alpert looked like he had won the game of life. A chauffeur drove his Triumph sports car. His Cambridge apartment screamed success. Yet inside, he was drowning. Despite degrees from Tufts, Wesleyan, and Stanford, he felt like a fraud among Harvard's elite. His student, Jim Fadiman, noticed something curious. Alpert seemed drawn to intelligent women, but merely attractive men, a hint at the hidden homosexuality that would later contribute to his downfall. He lived fractured across three cities, playing businessman for his father's railroad company in New York, hip professor in California, maintaining secret relationships on opposite coasts. Timothy Leary arrived with a different kind of baggage. After his first wife's suicide, he'd earned a reputation as psychology's brilliant troublemaker, publishing research showing traditional therapy worked no better than doing nothing at all. After running out of money in Florence with his children, he landed at Harvard through a fortuitous connection, but colleagues increasingly saw him as showman rather than scholar. Andrew Weil entered Harvard as a freshman with an unusually active imagination and a childhood fascination with altered states. At 17, a scholarship trip brought him to a Calcutta temple where a sadhu produced the sacred sound of Om, vibrations he felt deep down in his soul. Huston Smith completed this quartet with perhaps the most unusual background of all. Born to Methodist missionaries in 1919 China, his childhood mixed wonder with hardship, fevers inducing altered states, star-filled nights, exposure to Chinese folk religion's shamanism. By 1958, he'd pioneered teaching religions from the inside out and landed at MIT, where his 1960 lecture series with Huxley drew overwhelming crowds. August 9, 1960, Timothy Leary consumed 7 psilocybe cubensis mushrooms in Cuernavaca, Mexico, with his 10-year-old son Jack. Uncontrollable laughter gave way to jeweled patterns, Nile palaces, Hindu temples, the deepest religious experience of my life. Back at Harvard, Leary launched the Psilocybin Project. At his Newton home, where burn marks still scar the floors, the real experiments unfolded. When Aldous Huxley connected him with Huston Smith, the philosophy professor saw his chance. Despite teaching mysticism for years, he'd never experienced the states he described. Smith's first journey terrified him as his consciousness fractured into infinite layers. Yet afterward, such a sense of awe. It was exactly what I was looking for. Richard Alpert's experience proved equally transformative. After taking psilocybin during a snowstorm, he hallucinated versions of himself, professor, pilot, lover, son. At 3 a.m., he shoveled his parents' walkway while they watched confused. 47 years later, wheelchair-bound, until that moment, I was always trying to be the good boy. That night, for the first time, I felt good inside. Their research escaped conventional boundaries. At Concord State Prison, they administered psilocybin hoping to reduce recidivism. In the Good Friday experiment, 20 seminary students in Marsh Chapel's basement received psilocybin or placebo while a sermon played upstairs. Years later, Smith remembered profound spiritual revelation. Leary saw evidence of Christianity's resistance to multiple realities, but trouble was brewing. Freshman Andy Weil and roommate Ronnie Winston approached the project as potential subjects. Though policy forbade undergraduate participation, Winston received psilocybin as Alpert's social friend rather than research subject, a double standard that infuriated Weil, who resolved to destroy the Harvard psilocybin project with the zeal of a jilted lover. In spring 1962, Harvard Crimson editor Robert E. Smith infiltrated a departmental meeting where professors Herbert Kelman and Brendan Mayer confronted Leary and Alpert. Kelman accused them of creating an anti-intellectual atmosphere focused on pure experience over academic rigor. Smith's article, "Psychologists Disagree on Psilocybin Research," appeared March 15, 1962. By May, Leary and Alpert had surrendered their psilocybin to faculty oversight. Then, Weil, who had secretly run his own psychedelic experiments, approached the Crimson while working as an informant for Harvard's administration. When Weil discovered Alpert had given psilocybin to an undergraduate, Harvard fired Alpert on May 27, 1963, for violating his agreement. Leary was dismissed for neglecting teaching duties. Their dismissal made national headlines, transforming them from respected researchers into counterculture martyrs. After Harvard's expulsion, Leary and Alpert relocated to Mexico's Hotel Catalina in Zihuatanejo. Metzner found paradise in lush jungles and crashing surf. Leary envisioned utopia, modeled after Huxley's Island, cosmic harmony through consciousness-expanding substances. LSD replaced psilocybin. Leary guided Metzner through profound sensory experiences, a candle's wonder, a beer bottle's coolness, the divine-demonic duality in his own face. The experiment initially flourished with psychiatrists and seekers, but media attention brought waves of proto-hippies. By summer's end, Mexican authorities expelled them. After ejection from Harvard and three countries in 3 months, the Hitchcock siblings offered salvation, a 2,500-acre Dutchess County estate with a 64-room Gothic mansion. They established the Castalia Foundation. Leary built a special trip chamber accessible only through a floor hole filled with mattresses and a bronze Buddha. When Leary and Metzner returned from India in 1965, Millbrook had deteriorated. Tensions exploded when Leary accused Alpert of seducing his 15-year-old son Jack, dramatically declaring, "Uncle Dick is evil" before the children. This bitter confrontation ended their 5-year partnership. After splitting with Leary, Richard Alpert traveled to India, where Neem Karoli Baba mysteriously knew intimate details about his mother's death. When offered 300 micrograms of LSD, the guru showed no effects, but explained that while LSD allows one to visit Christ, it doesn't let one stay with him. Love, he declared, is a much stronger drug than this. Renamed Ram Dass, servant of God, Alpert spent 8 months practicing Raja Yoga, rising at 4:30 a.m. for river bathing, chanting, studying sacred texts. Returning to America in 1968, he lectured in flowing robes, his self-deprecating honesty about struggling with junk food and anonymous sex making him relatable. In 1991, he created Reaching Out, combining volunteerism with inner work. Timothy Leary's trajectory took a darker turn. After proclaiming "Tune In, Turn On, and Drop Out" to 20,000 people at the January 1967 Human Being, his life unraveled. Prison escape, flight through Algeria, marriage collapse, heroin addiction. To secure release, he became a government informant, betraying friends who helped him escape. His own son called him a pathological liar. In his final days, Leary remained contradictory, sometimes radiating clarity, other times appearing as a twisted, angry, fucked-up old man. Andy Weil transformed from Harvard rebel to America's leading alternative medicine advocate. His iconic beard became synonymous with an empire spanning 10 books, PBS series, and the Center for Integrative Medicine. Weil traces his holistic philosophy directly to psychedelic insights. "Those experiences showed me that what's inside your head is connected to what's outside your head." At nearly 90, Huston Smith arrived at his landmark book's 50th anniversary celebration with Walker but luminous spirit intact. Profound losses, daughter Karen to cancer, granddaughter Serena's mysterious disappearance at sea, only deepened his faith. Smith believed people turn to religion as naturally as sunflowers bend toward light. His vision of death was peaceful, eventually turning from enjoying the sunset to enjoying the uncompromised sunset itself. "The string will have been cut," he said. "The bird will be free." The Harvard Psychedelic Club's experiments fundamentally differed from earlier government-funded LSD research that sought to induce psychosis rather than spiritual awakening. This difference in intention shaped profoundly different outcomes. Leary served as the trickster, challenging 1950s limitations. Alpert became the seeker, bringing Eastern spirituality westward. Smith emerged as the teacher, revealing common threads across world religions. Wilde developed as the healer, connecting mind and body in revolutionary ways. Leary never found an anchor. While he inspired the psychedelic movement, he also damaged legitimate research. Yet his vision may be vindicated. Institutions like Johns Hopkins, NYU, and Harvard have resumed psychedelic research for treating depression, addiction, and end-of-life anxiety. The other three transformed mainstream culture. Wilde revolutionized healthcare through integrative medicine. Ram Dass guided spiritual seekers toward meditation and compassion. Smith fostered religious tolerance. We live in the world these four men imagined, where meditation apps sit on millions of phones, yoga studios anchor every neighborhood, and psychedelic therapy returns to medical legitimacy. The seeds planted at Harvard in the early 1960s have grown into a forest, sheltering generations of seekers.